Today on Real Radio.
The God of the Bible is an uncreated God. Some people think they're pretty clever today when they say things like, well, if your God created everything, then who created your God? Nobody created our God because he doesn't dwell in the physical universe. He's uncreated. The Christian God, the God of the Bible, is an uncreated God. He's eternal.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know. God's written Word is for our learning on so many levels. His attributes, His nature, His plan of salvation for His people, our sinful condition, which cries out for our need for redemption, and so forth. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his mini-series called You Need to Know, all about the revelation of God.
What do we see when we look at creation and the physical universe around us? What do you think when you look at a rose or a bird or the heavens? That's power. I believe that God is constantly displaying to us His power. We need to slow down, everybody. We need to slow down. Take a look at what we would call the simple things. Those simple things are so profound, they scream the power of God's ability to announce to us, I made those trees. You know, we get so full of ourselves. I can do this, we can do this, we can do the other thing. We can put a man in a can and ship him off to the moon. Look what we can do. You know what? You can't do any of that unless you rely upon the very sciences that God first of all gave us. It's the laws of science, which are examples of God's fingerprints at work, God's hand at work. Whatever we do, we've got to bow humbly that we were not the first ones. God has done this. In the midst of America being so godless and so anti-God, He's so good. Did you know that we are now the number one natural gas producing nation in the world? Did you know that we have nearly 300 years of natural gas? When you think of oil producing nations in the world, who do you think of? We beat Saudi Arabia now. Did you know that? You didn't hear that, have you? That's the news. That's real. That's happening. Why do I bring this up? That happens by the power of God, and I'm embarrassed because He's still being good to us as a nation. God's power. And it goes on and on. The air you breathe. This amazing day that we're having already so early. That's the power of God. Psalm 19, verse 1. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, the heavens declare, the word is shouts, the glory of God. And the firmament, that's the starry sky, shows or displays His handiwork, His engineering. Isn't that true? You have to be an astrophysicist to discover the engineering of God in the heavens. Day and today, they utter their speech, that is, they're sending out information, technology, the heavens. And night unto night, they revealed knowledge, a design. There is no speech nor language, that is the word revelation, where their voice, testimony, is not heard. What does that mean? God is saying in Psalm 19, any knucklehead who looks up in the sky would naturally conclude, wow, God's amazing. Think of it. You've got to be polluted and told another story that God didn't do that. Children seem to naturally know that. The heavens declare the glory of God. It does not display an accident, but design. The all-powerful God, that's power. In light of that, here's power. Colossians 1, 15 and 17. Colossians 1, 15 says, He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, that is the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the firstborn, preeminent one over all creation. For by Him all things were created. Everybody look at that. Did you get that? Jesus Christ is the creator of all things created. What things? Things that are in heaven, things that are on earth. Invisible things, visible and invisible things. Jesus. Whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, authorities both on earth and angelic powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Listen, anybody in school, verse 17, I love this. Colossians 1:17. By him, Jesus, all things consist. The word is they're glued together. By him, all things are glued together. Listen, nobody knows how the universe stays together right now. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what, quote, the atomic glue is. They've named it the atomic glue. Nobody knows what holds it together. Did you know that? No scientist knows. They have a theory now. They've come out with one, and it's gravity. They said gravity holds it together. Gravity is a very complex thing. Here's the deal. Gravity. Gravity holds it together, they say, but who engineered gravity to hold it together? The Bible says, Colossians 1:17, Jesus did. That's power. That's power. That's the God you serve. Now, all of a sudden, you say, how do I take this home? Who cares about this? That's the God who saves you. That's the God who will be with you. That's the God whose doctrine we need to make sure we understand. He's awesome. Here's some more power. You want power? Here's some power. I'm reminded, and I told you guys before in Israel, whenever you see the Nigerian Christians in Israel, ask them, hey, what's power? And they'll say, they're beautiful. They're all dressed up in their tribal clothes, and they're touring Israel. And they'll say, Jesus power, superpower. Satan's power, powerless power. Isn't that great? Jesus power, superpower. Here's some superpower right here. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. This is the second coming, when he comes back to earth to stay. Even though those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen, says the Bible. Verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord. He who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. That's power. God is all power, the God of the Bible. Romans 8, verse 11. Romans 8, 11. But if the power of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that is the Christian, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells where? In you. Are you a Christian today? Yes. The Holy Spirit in your life is the power of God to not only raise you from the dead, the guarantee of that is the Holy Spirit is the one who raised Jesus from the dead on that Sunday morning. Romans 8:11. That's power. You serve the all-powerful God. There's not one god or gods in the pagan religions of the world that even has the audacity to say, I'll raise you from the dead. And yet the Bible reveals that for you. Next, we look that you need to know regarding your great God that he is the uncreated God. The God of the Bible is uncreated. That is a big deal today. The God of the Bible is an uncreated God. Some people think they're pretty clever today when they say things like, well, if your God created everything, then who created your God? Nobody created our God because he doesn't dwell in the physical universe. He's uncreated. The Christian God, the God of the Bible, is an uncreated God. He's eternal. So when somebody lays that on you, especially young people on campus, when they lay, oh, well, who created your creator? We don't serve a man-made God. We don't serve a created God. That's an idol. We don't serve an idol. We don't serve a God that's been carved or made up by man. A lot of people today, again, many in the young generation of 35 years of age or over, think they're being very clever when they try to pin on you that you believe in a created God. We do not. Number one, the Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It doesn't mean that God was created first and then he created the beginning, the word means that from eternity, God created out of nothing that which is. He's eternal. There is no physics in eternity. There is no kairos or time or chronology in eternity. God, who stepped out of eternity for a moment, as it were, and spoke the universe into existence, created time. He's outside of time. So to think he's a created God is kind of silly, and I'll make mention of that in a moment. And by the way, before we move from Genesis 1:1, keep this in mind. When you look at Genesis 1:1, the topic is, listen, not God. This is fun. Are you sitting down? Are you listening? The topic, number one, is not God in Genesis 1:1. The topic is creation. Number two, the agent of creation is God. Three, the outcome is the heavens and the earth. What does that mean? It means this, that God, in existence, pre-existence, it was his idea to do what he did at creation. People want to talk about the days of creation. Listen, you weren't there. I wasn't there. Just take God at his word. Trust him. If you can get past Genesis 1:1, the rest of the Bible is downhill from there. If your God is so big that in the beginning he created all that there is, it's easy the rest of the way. It's easy. Regarding this argument of the created versus uncreated God in John chapter 1, verse 1, listen to this. John 1:1 answers Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, that is of the physical universe, was, that is the pre-existing, Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word, what? Was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. That's awesome. Uncreated meaning, obviously, God is infinite. He's the infinite God. John chapter 1, verse 10. He came into the very world he created. I'm reading right now this verse out of the New Living Translation because it sounds awesome. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. Verse 11, he came to his own people, that's the Jew, and they even rejected him. Verse 12, but to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. He is the infinite, uncreated God. Some simple questions I want to ask you, three specifically. This is just for your thinking. Where do you think you came from? People ask this question around the world. There's libraries holding books on this question. Where do you think you came from? Basically, there used to only be two answers to that. Now there's three because we live in a loony age. It used to be, where did you come from? The first answer was God. Then the second answer some people have adopted is evolution. And now the third answer is aliens. Oh, you laugh. People believe this. The New Age movement believes this, that the earth was seeded by alien beings. And they created, listen, it's a very clever satanic doctrine. They created both evolution and they themselves are gods. They just kind of cover all the bases. So listen, where do you think you came from? God, evolution? Aliens? You have an opinion. Stop. This is important. Listen, you can't escape this question. You got to slow down, get off your mobile device, actually use your brain, and be honest with yourself and ask yourself, where did I come from? Where did I really come? I'm not talking my mom and dad. Where's my true origin? This is the most basic question to ask yourself. We're so busy today, we don't stop and ask. Number two, why are you alive on earth right now? Why are you alive? Yeah, the answer is either going to be based on evolution, aliens, or God, it's either going to be meaningless, or God. If you believe in evolution, your answer is meaningless. Why are you here? Meaningless. Why? I believe in evolution. How does that make it meaningless? Because everything's an accident. We all just came here from a very freakish form of accidents. These accidents progressed until I got an eyeball, and then I got another one, and one accident led to an amazing designed feature. Never had an accident create something so amazing in the first place, but we're going to make it up in our religion called evolution. And out of blowing up, as it were, the universe with a lightning strike into a bowl of ammonia, we came into being. We climbed out of a mud hole, and here we are. Aren't we fantastic? Yes, accidents create things just like us. So why don't we just, if we want to build a 747, we should blow up a junkyard and see what happens. Why don't you put a stick of dynamite in the backyard with a bunch of metal? Instead of going down to the Rolex store and buying a Rolex, why don't you just blow up some metal and hold out your arm and let a watch land on your arm? And yet you, being here, mathematically, it's much more impossible than that happening. And at what point, by the way, does evolution say, you know what, let's tweak the eyeball a little bit more, a little bit right there, stop! It's perfect! Now put another one on the other side. When you listen to the most effective evolutionary arguments, they can't escape the word where they put, and this happened. Wait, how did that happen? Well, we have to assume. Or they'll say things like, in nature, this is what happens. Take the word nature out and put in the God of nature. Think of it for a moment. Am I being sarcastic? I'm trying to. I'm laying it on pretty thick here. I'm trying to. Think. You have better odds in Vegas thinking like that to win. Thirdly, what is the purpose of your life? Why are you here? Where do you come from? What's the purpose of your life? In other words, how about this? What's the purpose of your consciousness? Consciousness is a miracle. Science cannot tell us why we have consciousness. They can scarcely tell us how it works. Consciousness. It's amazing. Evolution did it. You have more faith than I do. Aliens did it. Our God. Be careful that you do not believe. There is a great danger out there of committing deicide in our minds. Be careful that you do not believe. It's very serious. Psalm 14, verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Isn't that amazing? Notice that. The Bible says, 3,000 years ago, the fool says in his... Listen, everybody. I'm going to listen carefully. The fool says in his intellect, there is no God. Is that what it says? What does it say? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know why this is important? God gave you a brain, and you're supposed to use it. And what your brain concludes and what your brain makes a decision on, in other words, the seat of your will is in the process of your thinking. It connects with your heart. The heart speaks of what you believe in life, who you are in life. So check this out. The heart is where the fool says, I'm going to bypass the intellect. See, people who don't believe in God say that because you believe in God, you're not a thinker. They say, oh, you Christians, you've checked your brains out at the door when you go into church. And then when you leave church, you got to put your brains back on to enter the real world. Isn't it interesting? The Bible says the fool has said there is no God in his heart. Why? Because his mind, if he uses his brain, he will have to conclude that there is a design engineer that has made all things. He is God. He made the flowers. He made the air. He made the mountain. He's God. And the evidence is overwhelming. If you don't believe in God, you've got to exercise huge blind faith to believe, first of all, in the words of a lot of people, And you've got to tweak evolution like bad doctrines to get it to fit your world. You've got to take science and tweak it to get your evolutionary theory. It's a big deal. Be careful. That's not an intellectual question. You say, well, I beg to differ with you. I'm only stealing this argument. Don't tell me for a moment. I love all of you, but don't come up to me and say, I'm smarter than Isaac Newton. Newton believed in God. And he wasn't the only one. Think of it for a moment. It's not an intellectual issue. It's a heart issue. I've said this before. I'll say it again. It bears repeating, and you can watch it on YouTube. It's a lot of fun. Richard Dawkins, professor of biology, I think it's biology, at Oxford University. Smart guy, ladies and gentlemen, smart guy. He's an evolutionist. Across the hall is Dr. John Lennox, who you had a chance to see and hear, professor of mathematics at Oxford University. He believes in God. You got two geniuses. One believes in God, one doesn't believe in God. If it's an issue of intellect, then they would be agreeing. You see, one has a different heart than the other one does. And so you need to know what you believe. Be careful. In Romans 1:18, are you guys okay? You're mighty quiet. You all right? Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Why? Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. This is profound. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. The Bible says God has revealed his witness inside of them. Wow. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead. This is what God says about you and I. So that they are without excuse. Every man, every woman knows inside to probe, to quest, and to wonder about God. God's put it in them. Next, you need to know that the God of the Bible is immutable. The immutable God. What does that word mean? Immutable means that God cannot change. Church, get this down. This is a big deal. God is immutable. He cannot change. The immutability of God means God cannot change his mind. God cannot change his word. God in his very nature cannot change.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know, all about the revelation of God. It's a look at those scripture passages that give us insight into the essentials of our faith. It's part of Pastor Jack's topical series called You Need to Know, and we'll continue with more of You Need to Know on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, last week we just wrapped up Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse series through 2 Corinthians. Now, we've had a lot of Real Radio listeners getting in touch by phone and emailing, asking about it, so we want to do something for you. Here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send you all the MP3s of the entire series on one USB drive. Let me say that again. We'll send you all of the MP3s of the entire series of 2 Corinthians, all on one USB drive, for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Call, click, or write. Just mention it by name. 2 Corinthians on a USB drive. Just visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And we've made it real easy for you to take it from there. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your contribution to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.